Welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, a podcast attempting to fix the problems that exist in destination marketing when it comes to media buying.
Nice.
Spoiler alert about what we're talking about today.
Yeah, wait, way to tie it in.
It's related. Thank you. I'm Sasha.
I'm Josh.
And here we are again. How was your weekend?
Once again. You know, it was good. Yeah. It was a whole lot of nothing.
Okay, same.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, sometimes you need it.
Super enjoyed it. Good.
And now I'm ready to go. Let's crush this thing.
Okay, yeah, we had some pregame face slapping. To be clear, Josh slapping his own face. As much as I wanted to get in on that.
By the end of this episode, though, it might be going both ways.
Okay, well, this will be fun. This will be exciting.
Okay, yeah, so what are we doing here today?
Okay, today we are going to talk about some of the most common mistakes we've seen destinations make in media planning and buying.
Okay.
Yeah, so what we've seen across our time and experience here, just what has come up a lot.
We've seen a few.
We've seen, yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
And so, to be clear, we've probably made a few mistakes.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, you bet. I wasn't going to admit to that on air, but you're right.
I'm just more humble than you are.
Maybe. So I would make a good team. Okay, so first, let's talk about mistakes we've seen when a destination may be planning media. And then let's move on to mistakes we've seen when a destination might be buying media as well. So we'll talk about those in two segments of our podcast today. So the first one, when it comes to planning, I think one of the biggest hurdles we come up against when we're working with new clients is just a lack of research. Whether it be who they're wanting to target or the markets that they want to focus in or just informed decision making.
Right. Yeah, I definitely have had my share of accounts where we're like going into a new situation and mm-hmm. like want to run some ads or something. And we're like, well, to who?
Right. It is. And it seems very basic, but I think a lot of destinations don't use the tools that might be right in front of them. Like, what tools could they access for free, Josh, that anyone could have access to?
So to answer your question, Sasha, I think one of the things that is super obvious to me that I think sometimes gets overlooked is things like Google Analytics, or if you've got Google Search Console attached, yep. You can really get a good feel for where your website visitors are coming from, some demographic information. And while it's somewhat sampled, I think it at least provides a little bit of direction, and all of that's free to set up. And if you've had it set up for the lifetime of your website, you should have a decent amount of data to work with.
You bet. And if you've never worked in Google.
Yeah. Have you ever said that word before?
First time. Y'all heard it here. If you've never worked in Google Analytics before, I imagine there are some how-to videos online. Are there some, easy instructional, like how-to?
Oh, plenty.
Okay. Pretty
straightforward. Google has a lot of resources.
Nice.
For you.
Okay.
You just Google it.
So start there if you haven't gotten in there.
But I mean, just to back up just a little bit, Sasha, I think one of the things that I think maybe your point in bringing up this specific topic that I get a little, frustrated with at times is people relying on their gut, or like they just think they know something, or anecdotally they've heard X, Y, and Z. And, oh, well, this town tells me, the media director, that they get a lot of visitation from, Denver, but then we actually look at some data sets like maybe from VisaView, or maybe if you're buying an analytics platform like Datafy or Zartico or something like that, then it might show something different. And yep. Relying on gut and anecdote is not always the best option. I mean, if that's all you've got, that's at least something, but highly recommend thinking about the real data beyond just gut.
I agree. I think we've seen a lot of our destination marketing officers relying on hotelier data as well. Not necessarily data, but maybe just feedback. So I've heard a lot of our partners say, oh, well, you know, this prominent hotel in town tells me they see visitors from Southern California, Vegas, and Phoenix. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. But whatever it is. But unless they're actually supplying you with hard data and showing you, hey, this percentage of our customers are coming from this market, this percentage from here, you know, here's maybe average spend or like average nights. It's not something you can rely on because everyone interprets the world differently.
Well, sure. And so, to your example, like that's a small sample size too, especially right. If you're a larger destination. If you've got 40, 100 hotels, what one hotel is telling you might not be representative of the whole.
Exactly. So if those hotelier partners have data on guest stays and they can capture addresses and you can kind of actually look at where those visitors are coming from or whatever tools you have access to, like any hard data you can get your hands on, use it. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be expensive. I know some of the survey data and some of these platforms that, you know, track this type of data really well can be expensive. But get in Google Analytics at least, you know, look at what you're seeing as far as web traffic. Make some assumptions from there, but at least you're using hard data at the root of your decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just to put a bow on it, you can get fancy and expensive because, I mean, I was just at eTourism Summit last week and it felt like the whole theme of the conference was data, 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 data. And every data company you can imagine was there.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there are definitely a lot of options out there. Pick the one that's best for you. And I recommend making that investment whenever possible.
So, Josh, what other platforms besides Google Analytics, some of these paid platforms, talk to us about what options our destination marketing officers have for those.
Yeah, I mean, the couple of the names I threw out there earlier, things like Zartico or Datafy, are definitely worth the investment because it'll be able to tell you things about actual visitation, what your origin markets truly are, how long they're staying in market, and when they're coming and when they're leaving, and all sorts of things that can help you actually plan your media buys better. And you can get really granular with it. And it just makes everything better if you're doing something like that. There are other options too. There's Epsilon and Arrivalist and Adara, which all have some of them have media buying elements to them too. But all of that will give you better data. So the more you have, just aggregate it, strategize, plan appropriately.
We need to do one whole episode on those platforms.
We probably should.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get a guest on.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
That'd be great.
Cool.
You know, another thing that we see a lot is some destinations haven't honed in on their target audience. We like to use the word persona, like their target persona. Some just don't know who is the most likely to come visit them.
Yeah, data helps with that.
Data helps with that. Kind of very closely tied in. If you have
good
the data,
segue, Sasha.
Yeah. Then you can also know who we're targeting. And when it comes to media planning, very, very important to know who we're targeting. Even if you're looking at high-level traditional marketing media platforms, you still need to know who you're hitting. Like, it will still determine what I place at the traditional media level, even if you want widespread awareness, like we're going to place in certain areas still, and your messaging is going to sync up to who you want to hit, even if we're trying to accomplish widespread awareness.
Well, it should. That's one of the problems, right? So, I mean, I think when it comes to personas, there's like two extremes that I know we've seen where either a destination has zero persona, where they just don't know who to target and they're blasting ads to anyone and everyone, or they have too many and it waters down the budget like crazy. So how would you recommend, Sasha, going about and like meeting in the middle? Because obviously that's where most destinations need to be.
Yeah. Think about what makes your destination unique and think about who's taking advantage of that. And then try to use data to make sure that you're informed with that decision. But if you have certain attractions in your destination, you might know what type of person comes to that attraction, right? You might have that base knowledge. So maybe just start there, right? Like, why are people coming to your destination? What are they doing while they're in destination? Are they bringing their families? Are they staying, you know, for a long time? Like, use some of that base knowledge you have and then try to back it up with data however you can. But going back to like not having a persona, I've seen this a lot, but I've seen specifically people just wanting to hit everyone. So it's not just that they don't have a persona. It's that they're saying, hey, I just want to hit everyone. And I don't think this is wise, even if you're trying to spend a lot of money on traditional media, again, and want widespread awareness, like, you still should tailor your message to who is actually coming. Not every single demographic or profile is coming to your destination. There is a majority group, right? Or one or two majority groups, and maybe it's tied to seasonality. Maybe one group comes, maybe, you know, during the winter, and one group comes during the summer, whatever it is. But you can have multiple key groups, but not every single person with every single interest is coming. So sure. It's just important to make that distinction, I think.
Yeah, and it's not always a question of budget either, right? Because, you know, I already mentioned this. I was at eTourism Summit. Mm-hmm. It was in Las Vegas. So many people go to Las Vegas, and you could probably build an infinite number of personas for Vegas. And Vegas, if you're listening, visit Las Vegas. I know you don't have an infinite budget, but compared to most other DMOs, you do. Mm-hmm. But even then, I'm guessing Las Vegas is not targeting anyone and everyone all the time. They definitely have target groups that they're going after, and I'm sure each casino and attraction and show has their own that they're going after as well.
Yep. So look at your seasonality, look at your attractions, try to identify who's attending, what, when, and then tailor your marketing. Tailor your marketing message. It will resonate that way. You're not just casting a wide net and hoping you catch some fish. Like, you're casting a more tailored net and catching, hopefully, more fish.
Yes.
Here we go with the fishing analogies.
The better fish.
I feel like we did this a few episodes back. It's back. Fishing analogies are back.
So one final persona question for you, Sasha. When we were talking about kind of meeting in the middle of the zero personas to infinite personas, we as an agency for our small to mid-sized DMOs, we kind of have a philosophy we go after. You want to speak to that quickly?
Sure. We usually target 2 to 3 top prime personas that we've seen, you know, come to the destination, be more engaged, be more interested, stay longer, spend more money, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And it depends on seasonality. Like, a lot of times we hit a certain group in the winter and a certain group in the summer, or sometimes we hit families, you know, versus adventurers and whatever it is. There are lots of varieties there, but basically 2 to 3. Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And at the 2 to 3 level, that kind of ties into another thing I wanted to talk about, not hitting too many markets out of state or out of market. Just that's another thing that can really water down your media spend. And when it comes to traditional media, if you want some brand awareness and brand presence, you need to be strategic about what market you are targeting and which persona you're hitting in that market. Again, that enables you to use your dollars to the best of your ability and not waste, right? And I think if you want to hit, you know, 5 large markets, but you have a small to medium sized budget, that just won't work usually. I would hone in, like, again, try to get that data, try to find out, like, what market has the most opportunity, what market is coming, staying longer, spending more, that has a large metro that you can still continue to gain presence in and gain visitors within, and look at that market. Then maybe put all of your traditional dollars there, right? And maybe you can dabble in digital media. Sometimes you can dabble and run some tests in a few other markets in addition to that main one in a cost-effective way and be able to look at results and kind of see, like, how are those other markets trending? But when it comes to traditional media, like, just as targeted as you can be, again, the better, which is kind of funny because it's more widespread, but you just don't want to waste any money, you know, with that, like, hitting too many markets. And if you try to spread too thin, you just won't get the frequency that you're looking for, and you won't make the impact that you're hoping to make. And so it just waters down your buy, so to speak. And so if you are going to spend in traditional, do it right, get a good frequency, get the penetration you want.
Can you define frequency a little bit and explain why it's important?
Yeah, you bet. With traditional media, I always look at, like, a 3 to 4 frequency, which means if I'm running a TV buy, I want to make sure that the same household is viewing that ad 3 to 4 times, if not more, kind of depending on what you want to accomplish. But if it's a market that may not have any touch points with you and you want to establish brand awareness, that visitor needs to see your ad more than once, right? To remember who you are, for name recognition, and then to actually take action, especially in tourism. they need a few more touch points before they take action and book a trip. You're asking for a large buy, like a big trip and a lot of money. And so you just want to hit that visitor or that potential lead enough that they know who you are and remember your message and that you're kind of staying top of mind. And that then when they see a digital ad, they can take action and actually click to your website and maybe get a travel brochure or start planning. But I just, you need a little bit more than one or two hits, I would say, on traditional, on like TV, outdoor radio.
So if I may, you've been talking a lot and I feel like the listeners need to hear from me.
Please
for just a second. Just to calm things down on the traditional side. Like, just to be clear, everyone, when you're planning your media, it's not all about just traditional. Digital is important too. But anyway.
Who invited you on this podcast? No, just kidding.
You did.
Oh, that's right.
Anyway, Sasha's point about not spreading budgets too thin. Boy, I just talked about you in the third person. That's cool.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. Anyway, it still applies to digital too. Like, it's very tempting to spread out your budget and do smaller media buys digitally. Like, it's really easy to spend just a couple bucks a day on Facebook and give that to a bunch of different markets, but you're not going to hit the reach that you need to actually have an effective campaign. And to your point about frequency, especially if it's a more top of funnel thing, you're going to need that. So one of the things we've run into is, you know, we might have like 5-6 markets we want to go after with like a $2,500 monthly budget, and you're just not going to get the market penetration that you need in order to see an effective campaign. So that's another reason why we kind of narrow it down to 2 or 3. And
You might reach a lot of eyeballs, but they probably won't remember your message. You're just reaching them once and they might just see you and then it's gone, you know?
Yeah.
So it's something, but it's just not enough.
Right. Oh my gosh. Is that something that's similar between traditional and digital? Did we just find a piece of common ground?
Yes. And let's never talk about it again.
Great.
Moving on to the next topic. We've also seen that some destinations don't know what makes them unique. And this kind of skews over into creative messaging that we don't dwell on the podcast, but your creative message makes your media impactful or makes your media effective. Like, I could place the best media buy and then you could run the worst creative and it would not have the impact it would normally have. So I think just thinking through what truly makes your destination unique is very, very important so that you are placing the right message on these media channels and thinking about who is listening, how your message will resonate with them.
Can I fight with you a little bit?
Sure.
I hate the word unique.
Do you?
It is like a personal pet peeve of mine.
How about authentic?
No, because that's not even the same thing as unique.
Same meaning.
No, because like, okay, everything is unique. Everything. I'm unique. You're unique. This microphone, while it looks the same as your microphone, they're unique. They are their own things. So my whole thing is like every destination is unique, but also every destination has a lot of the same things. Everybody's got microbrews. Everybody's got hiking trails. None of that is actually like unique to you. I think in my mind, when it comes to creative messaging, you need to think about those personas we were talking about earlier and think about what about your destination applies to those personas and why they would actually want to come, and use that as your differentiator, because maybe you are the right thing for that persona more so than another destination.
So you're passionate about this. Now I have another question.
Hit me.
So give me an example of what type of things could be that unique grab outside of a hiking trail.
Yeah. So give me a destination example.
Okay. Let's do Sedona, Arizona, because I know that you love it.
Yeah. I do like Sedona.
Let's do Sedona.
Well, we'd have to decide on who the persona is for Sedona.
You.
Me?
You.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you are.
Okay. 34-year-old white man who's into marketing in the outdoors.
I'm laughing. Sorry, Josh.
Because I am funny. I am a funny persona.
All right.
That's right. So if I were marketing Sedona to me. I think part of why I like the outdoors is kind of the, I'm going to get like weird here,
okay.
But it is kind of like the spiritual experience of being outside. It puts you in your place in the universe, and you realize that there's so much more to the world than just your own stressful day to day. And I think one of the things that Sedona has that's different than a lot of other outdoor destinations is they've got kind of a really big spiritual community. There are probably more psychics and crystal shops than I've seen anywhere else.
I didn't know that.
And so even if you're an outdoors person and you want to attract general outdoors people, tapping into that like spiritual connection that you can have with the community and with the outdoors is probably something I would do if I were Sedona, which I know they have been doing.
Nice. Yeah, it causes you some reflection, which is interesting because I don't hear that a lot with people as to why they like go to a destination.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't think that's weird. I think that's, it's cool.
There you go.
Nice.
Was that deeper than you were expecting?
Yes, I did not expect you to go that deep, to be clear. But now I know.
Yeah.
Cool. Another little thing that we don't have to spend too much time on is I think a lot of destinations get too caught up in county lines. And I think that's taking away the visitor perspective of your destination. In some cases, the visitor is not looking at those county lines. So I think just consider how the visitor is planning their trip. And they might be coming to your destination because you're one of three in the surrounding areas, right, that they can hit, I don't know, those hiking trails or whatever it is. They might just be doing like a region tour. And so that might change your marketing message. That might change how you approach your media buying and planning. Just knowing that you're one stop along the way. And then you could just, I don't know, you speak to that audience a little bit differently. So I just threw that in there. I think it's something to think about.
Yeah. No, I think that's true.
Yeah. Another thing, again, don't have to spend too much time on this other bullet point here, but we have seen some fear in challenging stakeholders when it comes to the DMO or the destination marketing officer. I think sometimes stakeholders can be difficult to work with, and most are wonderful partners, right? But there are some who are a little challenging, a little bit difficult. And we've seen clients miss out on fantastic creative campaigns or fantastic media opportunities because they haven't wanted to fight the fight, right? Or present or pitch it to their stakeholder group. So I think if you are passionate about something and you can see the value in something that you'd like to pitch, like the fight is worth having in some cases, right? With that stakeholder community, as long as you can illustrate your point and show the value. But well, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think, and it doesn't have to all be on you as the destination marketer. Bring in your partners, bring in your vendors, bring in your agencies, and have them help you fight that fight. They should be there to make you look better to your board and your stakeholders. So let them help you figure that out.
Yep, I agree. And we're always happy to help. And if they haven't offered, if your partner hasn't offered, ask them. Or if you're pitching new media and you have, you know, the partnership with that media rep, ask that media rep's crew to come in and pitch that new media product or pitch that new media channel. Ask them to present a case study, right, to a similar size destination, even if they don't give out the actual name, like have them present some numbers and look at the impact that has been brought. But it's sad sometimes because we have seen this and it's like, oh man, this is a cool opportunity and you could get ahead of the curve or this creative would really make a splash. And anyways, sometimes they're just pushed aside for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, and if your vendor or agency partner does not want to help you,
bad sign.
Forget them. Just
bad sign.
Spend your money elsewhere.
Yeah. So spend your money elsewhere. Okay, that was everything I had as far as planning, and some of it seeped into buying, but
Wait, can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
When it comes to planning, one of the things that helps, this ties back to our original point about data, is just please just track everything.
Josh, whipping out the F word today.
No, like, I can't emphasize this enough. Like, it's not worth running a campaign at all if you're not going to track how it performs. True. Work with anyone on your team who is good at digital analytics and website behavior stuff, or your agency, if that's who you're working with, and make sure every piece of that campaign is tracked in some form or fashion, because without it, you're not going to learn anything from it. And then you won't know if your buy was relevant and you won't know what to do next. So just do it.
I thought you were going to swear again.
I thought about
it. You promised many swear words, and that's the first, so I'm waiting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there will be more.
On that same note, don't only just track, but correlate the data and assess the data. So track in a central location where you can look at year over year, where you can look at quarter over quarter, and then, yeah, be able to make some assumptions off that data and actually evaluate, spend some time sifting, evaluating, pulling out the key points. Mm-hmm. It's not just enough to have that tracking, right? Like, yeah. You actually want to get in there and make those decisions. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about buying. Some faux pas we've seen when it comes to buying media. I think this is an interesting one, but I'm going to bring it up. I hope I don't offend anybody.
This one's all you. I'm just going to let you go for it.
Okay. I have seen many, 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 many times there are vendors that attend every tourism marketing trade show that know every DMO personally. And there comes with that relationship that's been built sometimes an obligation to place media and buy media with that partnership. Now, I think partnerships are fantastic. You should have a good relationship with all your vendors, and fostering those relationships is an essential part of media buying, right, and your career. But if you're feeling obligated to spend money with a certain vendor, but you don't know if that vendor's audience is your target persona, don't do it. Don't do it. And if they're actually a true partner, they should still have that relationship and partnership with you if you're not placing, right? But I've just seen this sort of relationship building happen with a lot of the vendors I work with. And sometimes maybe their audience is a perfect fit and they have some cool opportunities. And then it's great. You should buy with them and take advantage of that. But just be very careful that you are looking at their audience, right? And looking at their reach, making sure it's the markets you want to hit. It's your audience exactly. It's your interest group, whatever it is, right? That it lines up with exactly who you want to reach, and that you're not just placing because you're good friends with the vendor, right? Or because they've pestered you a lot. Again, yeah, you can be pretty upfront with media vendors, and if they're a true partnership, like, they'll understand and you'll still have a relationship with them, even if it's not the right fit for whatever reason. So just a word of caution. I know that's a sticky point, but I don't know. I've seen a lot of those relationships, and most good partners will just, you still have that relationship, even if it's not a fit, right?
So to summarize, what you're saying is this is business. And just because you're friendly with someone, if it's not working out, don't force the issue.
Right. Also, don't be afraid to say, hey, your persona is not a perfect fit for who we're going after. And like, hey, I want to still grab lunch or still, you know, say hi at the trade show, still hear about your new products, but I'm just not going to be placing with you right now. It's not a fit. And like, I think you can say that. And I've just seen a lot of hesitancy with some of our, like, you know, clients and potential clients. And some of you might be going, well, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. But I've just seen it a lot. And
yeah,
so
it happens.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone's just human and we have relationships and we want to, like, take care of the people who we have relationships with. But when it comes to media buying, your dollars are too special. Like, you want to make sure it's really hitting who you want to hit. And so don't just place because they've talked to you a lot or you have that relationship. So just a word of caution, I guess.
Hey, Sasha.
Yes.
So I know you and I have a relationship here, but this podcast,
it's just business.
It's just business. And you know what? I don't think you're what our audience needs. So I'm going to have to find another co-host.
That was like the nicest.
But if you want to get lunch, let's hang out.
See, and I'm feeling like I wasn't even dismissed. Like, I'm feeling like we're still friends. So that's the way you can do it.
Hey, stay tuned for episode 11. New co-host.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thank you for that example in real time. Even though it wasn't my expense. Okay. This is a big one. And I want to hear your thoughts on it, because mm-hmm. I know you do have thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. But we've also seen, just not looking at certain destinations, not looking at the marketing funnel holistically, really, really honing in on one section, really, really honing in on another, like just not considering another part of the funnel, being stuck at one. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
Here we go. All right. So we've gone over the three sections of the funnel, right? Now, ideally, like if you've got the budget, you should be spending in all three areas of the funnel. You need to reinforce the awareness of the people who do or don't know about you. You need to continue to get people to consider actually visiting, and then you need to continue to actually get people to book a trip and come visit so that you can generate those tax revenue dollars and hotel tax and just keep the whole ecosystem flowing, right?
Preach.
But not everyone has enough budget. We're not all big destinations. So when you're looking at your funnel and your destination's needs, you need to think about what portion of the funnel is probably weakest for your destination and focus money more there than you would on the other portions of the funnel. That's my opinion anyway. So if you are a small rural destination, of course you need people to book. But if you send people a whole bunch of ads trying to get them to book a hotel or download an itinerary guide or whatever, and they don't even know who you are, they're not going to act on those other ads.
Right.
So spend more at the top of the funnel so that you can actually get them to act as you move them down.
What's that you just said? Spend more at the top of the funnel?
Digitally,
in the awareness
of course.
Bracket? Nah, you meant traditional.
Never.
Covering now. You're covering now.
Hey, there's plenty of top of funnel you can do on the internet.
Lindy. Not as much, though. It's my stuff.
What?
Great points, though, Josh. No, I actually agree with you. I think that's a smart way to approach it. And I think we've just seen, we've seen people who don't understand traditional media and just depreciate the value of building awareness and staying top of mind. And then we've seen people who don't understand digital marketing. You know, it's online, it's taboo, and they shy away from that.
Who
end of
says
things.
Digital's taboo?
I mean, we've heard it before with being tracked. I mean, that's changed now a little bit.
Yeah.
But we've heard a lot of like privacy concerns or just there. I don't know. We've heard it before.
Yeah.
Don't
that's
act
true.
Like we haven't.
Okay.
Most people living in this day and age can appreciate digital, but there are certain channels that certain clients don't understand and have steered away from, even if you understand most.
Yes. But, so I think what I'm hearing you say is have a comprehensive media mix and make sure that where you're spending meets the portions of the funnel that you need to focus on.
Yes. And if you're shying away from traditional or digital, I think you need to take a step back and look at the basic function of each, right? What are you trying to accomplish? What is their role in the funnel? Like, what is traditional media's role and how could that help you? And then what is digital's role and how can that help you? I think having that base understanding will go a long ways, right? Like understanding, again, just awareness and all different buckets of the funnel and making sure that you are fostering each will get to the place you want to get to.
So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I were to sum up everything we've talked about today, it's when you are planning and executing on your media buys, the whole thing's about being strategic. Don't rely on your gut. Rely on data. Use gut to reinforce what you find in the data.
Yep.
And then actually be very thoughtful and strategic about the buys you're placing based on your destination's need, not just because it's something you've always done or with a vendor that you've always worked with. Think about what you actually need and do it.
Yeah, the more strategic you can be and the more targeted you can be, the more success you will have.
Yes.
So I would just add targeting. The more targeted you can be, even in traditional media, yeah, the more success that you'll see and the better response rates that you'll have. So thanks for hanging with us today as we talk about some mistakes we've seen destinations make in the past. And hopefully this was helpful and maybe caused some reflection like you had in Sedona about yourself. Maybe some destinations can reflect on a few things.
For sure.
Yep. Josh, where can our audience find us from here?
So we are active on LinkedIn and Instagram and the TikTok.
The TikTok.
It's getting a little ridiculous, but I feel like maybe we're starting to understand this new channel.
It's always been ridiculous, but we're leaning into it.
Yeah, maybe it's awesome. More. And please laugh at us.
Yeah. If you want to see us behind the scenes a little bit,
yeah,
TikTok's the place.
Yeah. Hit us up with any topic ideas. If you want to be a guest, let us know. We're always looking for good topics. So.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Bye. Until next time. Bye.